Bibles to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Thank you, all you precious folks, for coming this morning. Praise the Lord. Psalm 126, if you'll allow me, I'd like to try to teach from what's on my heart this morning. Psalm 126, it's on my heart. And I love Calvary Baptist Church. Oh, Pastor, thank you with all of my heart for letting me stop in. My schedule had changed around a little bit, and I sent a little text to Pastor and said I was going to be nearby, and he said, well, why don't you stop in? I'm so glad you let me stop in, and praise the Lord. Had some good fellowship yesterday. He put that liver into the ministry last night. And I did. I ate next door where I'm staying. I do eat liver. Yeah. Now, I've had it cooked very well. I've had it where it wasn't cooked very well. Part of it is how you cook it, you know. Yes. You've had her for a while, haven't you? I was in New Zealand earlier this year, and somehow they got the bad idea that I loved fried squid basically every meal. And woo! I got tired of it. I ate it every meal that they served it. And I had some lamb and other things. They're good cooks over there in New Zealand. New Zealand, that's a different place. There are no snakes at all in New Zealand. Now, that's a point in its favor right there, you know what I'm saying? But that's a country far from God. It's far from God. They've left the Lord out. I wish I could tell you more about that. In fact, let me just mention, we were out soul winning different things, and our vehicle broke down. And right in front of a museum. So I went inside the museum while they was getting somebody to come fix the vehicle. And so I'm just giving out a few gospel tracts and talking to a few people. And the curator came and said, we do not need any of that material. Thank you. Her name was Philippa, about 50 years old. She said, we do not need any of that material. Thank you. And so I just began talking with her. I said, I'm a preacher from America. I've come over, and I love your country. I love that there's no snakes, and I love how clean the country is. And just began talking to her. And she told me, said, well, a clairvoyant told me when I was a little girl that I did not need a book. She didn't need a Bible. And so I was just chatting with her. And boy, they're big on manners and kindness and those kind of things. I mean, I've talked to Philippa for, 10 or 15 minutes as I'm chatting with her. I said, well, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. She said, pardon? I said, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. She said, oh, that's good. I said, you know where that came from? Where? That's from that book. And I had her intrigued for a moment. I said, and Philippa, I said, you know, one sermon by Jesus could change your life. And what sermon would that be? I said, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. She said, well, tell me about it. I said, oh, no, I'm not going to tell you about it. No? I said, no, I want you to read it yourself. She's never read a Bible in her life. When I left her, she had a King James Bible reading Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Now, the Word of God is powerful, you know. Her name is Philippa. I'll probably never see her again, but she's been on my heart praying for her soul. You know, everybody needs to be born again, everybody. Let me mention these CDs, and we got to get into our lesson. Our time is flying by. There's just a few titles left. I shipped a couple hundred CDs out, but those churches in Indianapolis got a bunch of them. They're any size donation is how we work this, and Miss Julie's going to help me. You do not write checks to Julie. Run them to Bible Truth Music or a little cash. If you want to use a credit card, you'll need to see me. But Bible Songs for Kids, this is volume 2. All volume 1's gone, but there's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. The two newest CDs over there, I Give You Freedom, which is a men's trio, and then Mountain Jubilee. This is our banjos, guitars, you know, really, really done well, tastefully done. And so if you want some of these, stop by and see Miss Julie. Now, Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Let's get into the Bible. This is what is on my heart, if you would allow me. Psalm 120, 6, beginning in verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. They that sow in tears. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed, the scripture says. I title this morning's lesson, Learning to be a Soul Winner. Learning to be a soul winner. A few introductory remarks. Number one, one way that we can know that we're saved is if we've got a desire to see other people get saved. The night I received Christ as my Savior, I wanted to see everybody in my family get saved. I want to see everybody in my neighborhood get saved. I want to see all my friends get saved. Isn't that the way with you? When you receive Christ, do you remember the day you received Christ as your Savior? If you're saved, I hope you remember that day. It was a Thursday night for me. And I mean immediately, I want to see everybody get saved. And that's one of the proofs that you're saved yourself. And then second opening statement, we should not only keep the faith, but we ought to share the faith. People say, Brother Fox, we want you to keep the faith. And it would be a good thing for the preacher to keep his faith, you know. But I don't want to just keep it. I want to share it with somebody else. This past Tuesday was out there door knocking in Indianapolis. And by the grace of God, we saw Montez saved, out soul winning. We had a couple other boys receive Christ as Savior. We went every day this past week out door knocking. Just telling folks, and some did not want to hear. Had one person say, I'm an atheist. Silly, isn't it, to be an atheist? Silly. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There's people everywhere just needing to hear about Jesus. And frankly, we're not wise unless we're trying to win others to Christ. Isn't that what the scripture says? He that winneth souls is wise. It's only wise to be trying to win souls. It's only wise. So now, why should we win souls? Now, these are just opening remarks. I've got a little outline here in a minute. But why should we try to win souls? Because of lots of reasons. Because of the value of a soul. How valuable is a soul? Well, they're priceless. You can't buy an extra one, you know. So I'll go down to the store and buy me one. No, you can't. No, they're priceless. They're rare. You can't get another one. They're unique. Every soul is unique. Jesus died for every soul. Unique. There's only one of you. Isn't that amazing? There's one of you and only one of you. And every one of you and every one of everybody around us, everyone is important to Jesus. And they're unique. Every soul is unique. The souls are durable. Boy, they last. The soul lasts. Now, the body, it starts falling apart. I have a hard time with this shoulder now. I was in two car wrecks back to back. A guy on drugs hit me from behind, and then a drunk fella hit me from the front. And boy, that shoulder hurts, you know. And the bodies don't last forever. You know, they just don't last forever. In fact, stuff does not last forever. Anybody ever had your refrigerator just die on you? Yes. Hot water heater? Yes. You know, the whole house falling apart? Yes. Second law of thermodynamics. What is it? Everything's falling apart. It does. But a soul is going to last forever. A car. Boy, that's a nice car. That's a nice car. But eventually it's going to get old and not be as awesome as it is now. But a soul is going to be forever. Remember that thief on the cross who repented? And our sweet, beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, saved him. Isn't that wonderful? A man who had left Jesus out of his life, left God out of his life, his entire life, and just before he died, he receives Christ as his Savior. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Shalt thou be. See, a soul's going to be somewhere forever. Souls are durable. They last forever. They'll either be in heaven forever or be in hell forever. Souls are durable. I'm talking about why we ought to try to win souls. Well, we ought to try to win souls because Jesus commissioned us to. He told us to. I was doing a tent meeting in Norfolk, Virginia. And we set our tent up there in Norfolk, and I'm out going through the neighborhoods. There's 265,000 people in Norfolk, and I'm out trying to get people underneath that gospel tent. I went through this one apartment complex, and I'd walked out, and a lady manager came and said, "You can't do this." I said, "Do what?" She said, "You can't go through our apartments." Well, I said, "Well, ma'am, I just finished." I said, "But I picked up pizza boxes and put them away. I cleaned up some trash. I was kind to your people." And I said, "You must understand, ma'am, I've been commissioned to do this." And I wasn't being a smart aleck when I said that. Never represent the Lord as a smart aleck. Never do that. Never do that. But it just came out of me. I said, "But ma'am, you've got to understand, I've been commissioned to do this." She said, "You've been commissioned?" I said, "I absolutely have. I have. And so have you. We have been commissioned to go out." By the way, 7 of her people came to that tent meeting that night and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I told her, I said, "If all your people get saved, you're going to have a better apartment complex." And that's true. So we've been commissioned. That's why we try to win souls. We've been commissioned. And then because of the reward for soul winners, you think how the Lord rewards his people for winning souls. You know, if you could cure cancer, you ought to do that. If you could bring peace to the Middle East, I wished you could do that. If you could pay off the national debt, I wish you would do that. But better than all those things is seeing someone born again. That's better than all of that. Winning someone to Jesus Christ, there's no greater joy in all the world than winning someone to Christ. Now, here's the little outline. Point number one, out of this text, we're talking about learning to be a soul winner. Now, I've used C's, the letter C, A, B, C. I've used C's to help us as a memory device. Learn to be a committed soul winner. Be a committed soul winner. They that sow in tears. Those folk that sow in tears, they've made a commitment. They're going to go tell someone about Jesus. Those that are bearing precious seed, they've made a commitment. They're going to do it. They are intentional about it. They have set a goal. You know, when you establish a goal, you work toward it. You know, if you're trying to be a marathon runner, well, you go out there and run some. If you're on a weight loss thing, you establish your goal. And whatever your goal is, you work toward it. Well, we all ought to make some goals about winning souls. Now, I can't set a quota as far as this week I'm going to see 7 people saved. I can't do that kind of a goal. But I can say, God being my helper, every single day this week I'm going to try to tell someone about Jesus. Now, we can do that kind of goal. We can say, I am going to be a soul winner this week. I'm establishing that goal right here on Sunday morning in the Sunday school hour. This week, I'm going to try to tell someone, and I'm going to try to go through the gospel with people this week. I'm going to try to do it. Amen to that. Be a committed soul winner. They that sow in tears, they've made a commitment to soul winning. And make a prayer list. Make a prayer list as part of your commitment to soul winning. Make a prayer list of lost souls. And then make a plan how you're going to try to witness to those lost souls. Put some feet to your prayers. And maybe you bring them into your house. These lost folks, bring them into your house. My wife, Renee, there was a young lady came and knocked on the door at our house. My wife was there. My wife looked out that peephole. You know how ladies do that. She looked out there. She saw a young lady, and my wife wasn't threatened. She opened the door. This young lady from Romania had come to Virginia. What was she doing? She was trying to make some money. She was selling magazines. My wife brought her in. My wife said, "I'm not interested in those magazines." She said, "But have you had lunch?" And the young, skinny girl from Romania said, "Well, no, I haven't." My wife said, "Here, let me make you some lunch. Have a seat. Let me get you something to drink." And she began telling her about Jesus while she made her some lunch. Well, the young lady had never really had a presentation of the gospel. She didn't get saved that first day. My wife said, you going to work this area again tomorrow selling your magazines?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, about lunchtime, stop by. I'll make you lunch again." There's all kinds of ways to let your light shine. Just always be looking for ways to tell folks about the Lord. There's ways everywhere. If we just make some goals and get it on our hearts and on our minds that we're going to tell folks about Jesus. Bring them in your house. Invite them to church. Take them out to eat. Take them down there to Subway. I like subs. You know, take them down there. And while you're feeding them, tell them something about the Lord. Amen to all these things. And see every lost soul as a potential brother or sister in Christ. They are, you know. And now, I've had people say, well, Brother Fox, I'm going to lead an exemplary life. That's the way I witness. Okay. So you're going to lead an exemplary life. Now, I want, dear Lord, I want me and you to do that, to lead an exemplary life. But may I say candidly that that is not enough to win folks to Christ? That is not enough. That is not enough. People are not led to Christ because of my exemplary life. They get saved because of the gospel. And really, hey, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. Really, we're not exceptional Christians. We're not exceptional Christians unless we are sharing the gospel. We're not. We're not really exemplary Christians unless we are sharing the gospel. And all of us could do more, couldn't we, friends? All of us could do more. I can do more, you can do, and let's do it this week. Let's try to do it this week. And then let me share this verse, Luke 15 and verse 2. There's talking about Jesus. They said, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Yeah, because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. So number one, learn to be a committed soul winner. Committed, that's the C. Learn to be a committed soul winner. And then point number two, learn to be a compassionate soul winner. It says here in verse 5, verse 5, they that sow in tears, a compassionate soul winner. We ought to be brokenhearted for the lost. I had a man yesterday said, you're just nothing but a fool. I wanted to get in the flesh for a minute. You know what I'm saying? I normally don't react. But boy, for just one second, I wanted to react. And then I did react. I said, I'm going to pray for you. His name is Gary. May the Lord help Gary today. Terrible thing, call somebody a fool. It's a terrible thing, terrible thing. But just have compassion on folks. Have compassion. Be brokenhearted and sow in tears. We need to see souls as God sees souls. About two or three times a year, I will go up on Capitol Hill. Every member of Congress has an open door policy. That means you can set up your appointment. In my phone, I've got every congressman's scheduler. I've got their numbers, their names and numbers. Hello, this is Byron Fox. I would like to set a 5-minute appointment with Congressman Webster, please. It's not on policy whatsoever. I just want to pray with him and honor the office of Congress. I've been in most of them's office trying to win them to Christ and try to win their staff to Christ. When I walked in Nancy Pelosi's office, yeah, you're having a reaction just like I do. When I walked in her office, can I tell you what God said to my heart? Seemed like God spoke right to my heart and said, Byron, I want you to remember that my son Jesus died for her. Jesus did die for Nancy Pelosi. I want to see her get born again. And I told her, I said, when I go in these offices, I'm not here on policy. I try to set them at ease. I'm here to pray with you. And we've got Bibles for everybody on your staff. They don't always let us give the Bibles to everybody, but some of them do. In fact, most of them will let us give our gospel literature out. Most of them will. Congressman Knight of California. We don't need any prayer. third time in the office. We don't need any prayer. And then he had a marital problem. Guess who he called? Some of us preachers. Guess who got saved? Congressman Knight. We didn't go public with it. But a few days later, at one of his own press conferences, he told folks that I had received Christ as a Savior. He's the only congressman we've seen saved so far, but we've been going for the last 5 or 6 years on purpose. We'd be a lot better off if everybody in Congress was saved. We've been having prayer meetings in the congressional auditorium. We've been able to get that reserved for us and having prayer meetings. Last year we had 210 independent Baptist preachers and a few hundred other folk in the congressional auditorium. It's packed. And we're in there saying, God, help us. Wow. That's what needs to happen in Washington, D.C. now. Praise God. Well, we need to be compassionate, trying to win souls. I was a boy, 15 years old, and there's a preacher named B.R. Lakin out of West Virginia. I was 15. I don't even remember what he preached, but I remember what he prayed. He bowed his head and he began to pray and he said this, "Oh God, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died." I wrote that down as a young man, as a young boy. God, please put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died. And I've been praying that till this day. And I'll tell you something, God answers prayer. You want to be a compassionate soul winner? Then you just start praying, God, put a love in my heart for everyone for whom Jesus died. And when someone calls you a fool, you'll be less prone to react in a bad way, but you'll try to just see them as God sees them. Number one, learn to be a committed soul winner. Number two, learn to be a compassionate soul winner. Number three, learn to be a confident soul winner. Now, look at your Bible and see if I get this right. Psalm 126, verse 5, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Now, see if I get this right. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, might come again." I didn't get it right. Let me try again. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, perhaps will come again." I still didn't get it right. Let me try it one more time. Let's see what the Bible says. This is what it says. "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." We can have some confidence as we go that we'll likely see somebody saved. Oh, listen, the seed is the word of God, and the Bible says, "My word shall not return void." And knowing the word of God and giving it out regular as your soul winning, that's the power of soul winning, is the word of God. It's not our clever cliches and so. No. It's the word of God that does the work. I've got a friend named Pastor Clyde Eborn. He's 88 years old, still pastoring. They're having church today at 11 o'clock is the only service they can have because the hurricane came through there in Newport, North Carolina. That hurricane came through, and they have 61 radio stations out of their church, and they still run buses. He wouldn't leave. He would not leave his town, because some of his people could not leave physically. And so he would not evacuate. He let his staff evacuate, all that stuff. For a day and a half, he was trapped in his RV. He had left his house because he got inside his RV because his RV was a little higher ground than his house was. And the wind wasn't so bad, it was the flood. And he was stuck in there for a day and a half. And we couldn't even find out for sure that he was okay. We thought he was okay, but all communication's out. They're having services this day. Their signs blown over. Their buses don't run. 7 out of the 8 staff houses were ruined. They can't use their auditorium, but they're using another part of their building that's okay. And they're having church today. And let me tell you, while everybody's working on cleaning up their city and cleaning up his own buildings, he's not really working on cleaning up. You know what he's doing? He's out there winning souls. He's out there just letting his light shine. And I'll tell you, when your city's just been through a disaster and so forth, people are a little more open to hearing the preacher tell them about Jesus now. He led three to Christ out on the parking lot. Amazing, man. It's amazing. Amazing. Have some confidence as you go. I was with Pastor Eborn back July the 1st. It was a Sunday, and we had a morning and afternoon service, and so I got on a plane that night to fly to Philadelphia. I got on a plane. I sat down, and right beside me as I sat down was a young lady named Jessica, 17 years old. And I looked, and she had a Bible. I said, "Hey, is that a Bible?" She said, "Yes." I said, "May I see it?" She handed it to me. It was a new Bible. I opened it up. I'm just curious. She's got some things marked. I'm like, "Wow." I said, "You've been reading this?" She said, "Yes, I got it last month as a graduation present." I said, "Do you go to Christian school?" She goes, "No, I go to public school." She said, "I went to public school in Alabama." We're in Newburgh, North Carolina on the plane. And she said, "I go to a public school." I said, "So are you a Christian?" She said, "Well, I've dedicated my life to God." I said, "That's interesting. Are you saved?" She didn't know what the term saved meant. "You mean like a discount or something? You know, you think it's saved some money with a coupon code or something?" I said, "Well, saved is a Bible word." And I began going through the gospel with her. Turns out, at her graduation, some minister was out on the sidewalks giving students Bibles. And they'd given her, she had never had a Bible. And she said to me during this flight, I'm just going to talk with you a minute. She said, "Now, my dad says that this book cannot be true, Brother Fox." He said, "It can't be true." My dad says in here someplace there's a fellow got swallowed by a fish. And she said, "My dad said that just can't be true." I said, "Oh, that's the account of Jonah." I said, "I've read it over 100 times this year. Let me tell you about it." I just went through the gospel with her. And she was already saved, or she got saved on that plane. I don't really know, because I'll tell you, she was seeking the Lord. And when I was a baby Christian, and I don't know how much I could have explained what saved meant either, you know. But by the time we landed, she knew more about the Lord, knew more about salvation. I got on the next plane, sat down beside Bruce, 23 years old. Bruce had spent 94 days in jail. And then he's on a plane sitting beside me. I said, "Bruce, your life's been a bungled mass of confusion." I said, "I need to give you some clarity according to the Bible. God has got a plan for your life, son." And I began to preach Jesus to him. It's an hour and 6 minute long flight. About an hour and 4 minutes into it is when he bowed his head and said, "I want to be saved." His name is Bruce. I've got his number in my phone. I've been staying in touch with Bruce. Man, they're everywhere. They are everywhere. And some of them are just waiting for someone to tell them about Jesus. They're just waiting for someone to tell them how to be saved. Would you bow your heads for a moment? As we come to the close of Sunday school, and our time has flown by this morning, this has been about soul winning. Learning to be a soul winner. The three C's were being committed to soul winning, being compassionate, and then being confident. Be confident in the Word of God, and be confident in the gospel, the power unto salvation. Be confident that God can save anyone. There's no one so bad that God cannot save them. So let's go back to point number one, be committed. Now, be very careful. Meaning to be careful, because if we make a commitment to God right now, God is going to expect us to keep it. So, "Well, I just won't make any commitments then." Oh, then you're not going to be the Christian you ought to be. No, 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 you're not going to be the Christian you ought to be if you don't make some holy commitments right now and need to do them again. "So, well, I committed a long time ago to be a soul winner." Well, commit again today. Make that commitment today. It's not God's will for Pastor Evans to win Flora, Illinois to Jesus. No, it's God's will for all of us. It's God's will for all of us to try to be soul winners. So I'm going to ask right now, this is a call to action, a commitment. Would you make a noble commitment right now that this week you're going to try to share the gospel with others? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands to me, but I'd like you to talk to God right now and make that commitment. God, this week, Lord, I'm going to make the commitment. I want you to help me through whatever life you have left. For me, I want to be a soul winner, and I want to this week, this day. And I pray you'll help these folks to be soul winners, sharing the gospel. And I pray we would be compassionate as we go, not reacting in a way that would displease you, Lord. You know, yesterday I wanted to. I'm glad you gave me grace. You've shown me grace. Help me. Thank you. And then, Lord, may we all have some confidence that the gospel has not lost its power. You still love everybody and you want to see everybody saved. And so I pray that our church will be the gospel lighthouse here in Florida that we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Look this way and let's sing together. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I made a hospital visit. I closed. Give me 60 more seconds. Made a hospital visit on Friday. And here's Bill. He's already had his right foot taken off. And now he's had his little pinky toe on his left foot taken off. He's a saved man. I said, now, Bill, you've got a golden opportunity right now. He said, I do. I said, oh, yeah. When this has just happened, people are going to listen for you to complain. It's just shocking to people when you just sit, lay in this bed saying, hallelujah, glory to God. God knows where I am. I said, talking about getting people's attention, more than this pastor, the pastor with me, I said, more than this pastor can get people's attention, you have got a golden opportunity. He started right there in the bed, hallelujah, glory to my Lord. That's the way we ought to be. Just whatever circumstance we're in, just keep pointing folks to Jesus.